It is over, and President Trump's State of the Union address gets a standing ovation from Republicans while Democrats stay seated at a crucial call to pick a side. It's over. The social media investigation at Davies High School with lewd images of a fellow high schooler. What happens next? And it's over. The debate is settled in the Twin Cities suburb of Champlin, where the city council says we will fly the old Minnesota state flag. Good morning, my friend. Great to be with you on a beautiful sunny morning here in Fargo. It's not 100 below. It's not 100 above, but we'll take what we get this time of year. And it is so great this time of year. I was telling Tracy last night coming home, I left work at 5:15, 5:20 last night to head home, and it still was middle of the day, bright outside. And man, I love this time of year when the days get longer, temperatures start warming up. Spring isn't here. I don't know if we can say it's just around the corner, but it's not far away. And I get to hang out with you for the next couple of hours. Very happy to have the opportunity to do that. There is so much to talk about. Let's get to it right away here because we got a couple of guests today. Robert Erbely, the state senator for District 28, down by Lemoore. He'll be with us today. Bridget Riedel from the Commodity Classic, the biggest crop show in the country down in San Antonio. And I got some audio cuts to play for you that they make me smile, and hopefully they will make you smile as well. I could go on for hours about the State of the Union. President Trump didn't go on for hours, but a little under 2 hours. It was a good, good speech. It was a night of heroes, wasn't it? I was prepared for it to seem like a long speech. I don't know. I've heard President Trump so many times that sometimes I feel like, okay, I kind of know what I'm going to get, and he's going to go after the fake news media and whatever. But hey, I love this speech. It was one of the better ones I've heard him give. He kept it positive for the country. Not a lot of name calling. Critical at times, yes, but it needed to be. But it wasn't personal, and I appreciated that. The close was fantastic. And then, of course, there was that one golden moment. Not the gold medal, guys, although that was pretty good too, but one golden moment that will live on. So let's get to it here with the Morning Wire. Semi-automatic storylines as we go rapid fire to catch you up on what is happening here as we begin our program today. I did see, by the way, that record high temp in Fargo today, 66. That was back in 1958. I wonder if they were talking about global boiling back in 1958 when it was 66 in Fargo today. Wow. Average highs are in the upper 20s here in the southern end of the valley. Wherever you're listening to us from this morning, hope that you are getting plenty of sunshine your way as well. The sun will set tonight in Fargo at 6:07. We will get 3 minutes and 16 seconds of additional daylight today. Days getting longer. Love every minute of that. In the markets today, it's a good day on Wall Street so far. Dow is up 64, S&P 500 up 32, NASDAQ up 231, NVIDIA and Oracle making gains here today. WTI crude oil down about a quarter at $65.34. Gold today up $34 an ounce at $5,210. Silver up $3 at $90.52. And Bitcoin is up today as well. I haven't said that a whole lot lately. At $66,836. AAA says average price of a gallon of regular unleaded gas nationwide today is $2.97. That's up a penny from yesterday. North Dakota average price $2.61. Minnesota $2.78. South Dakota $2.66. Diesel fuel today $3.74 a gallon. That's up 1 cent as well from yesterday. In the news today, boy, I've got like 18 stories in the show stack today. I'm going to try to rip through as many of them as I can. Fox News Channel reports that real-time voter tracking during the State of the Union last night showed a massive spike among independent and swing voters when President Trump introduced the U.S. men's hockey team. It was a cameo. They didn't have a seat for the whole thing. I don't know if there weren't enough chairs or if they all needed to, you know, make their appearance and get on a plane and get back to their teams. But it was the highest rated segment of the night. And boy, what does that tell you, right? With all the bitterness, people still love American excellence and go USA. It was a brilliant move by the president. Elsewhere, the Forum reports today the Fargo police have completed their investigation into the distribution of explicit images via Snapchat involving students at Davies High School. The police investigation is over But the school district is expected to continue addressing the situation through internal disciplinary policies and student wellness protocols. It does not look like there will be any criminal activity or charges from anything that happened there. The Fargo Resource and Recovery Center reports the forum is on track to open in about 60 days. That will be the big transition away from the downtown engagement center that we have currently. It's designed to streamline recovery and homelessness services, aiming to give a more stable long-term support for at-risk populations. They hope the move out of downtown will just let people feel a little more comfortable going down there as they move that spot a little bit west of town. The Star Tribune reports that this is Alpha News, better get that right. I don't think the Star Tribune would report this story. In a direct challenge to the state's recent flag redesign, the Champlin City Council voted this week to fly the original 1957 Minnesota state flag alongside the new one at City Hall. Council members and residents supporting the move argued that the North Star redesign was pushed through by a small committee in St. Paul without enough public input. We know more about what the football season will look like for NDSU in the Mountain West as NDSU moves up this year to the FBS. High-profile contests. They will get home game against Wyoming, and they will get road games at Hawaii and Las Vegas. Bison fans, you get to travel to Vegas this fall and watch your team play UNLV. Should be a ton of fun. Bismarck Tribune reports that challenges to North Dakota's window tint laws will not appear on the upcoming ballot, this after organizers failed to secure the necessary signatures. This means existing restrictions on darkness levels for vehicle windows remain in place. At the Minnesota legislature, proposed bans on assault weapons and high-capacity magazines, I use assault weapons in quotes, have failed to pass the Minnesota House Public Safety Finance and Policy Committee. The defeat of the bill is a major victory for gun rights advocates who argued the measures were unconstitutional and ignored the root causes of crime. WDAY radio reports that state senators from western Minnesota have introduced a package of bills designed to crack down on financial fraud and elder abuse. The legislation seeks to increase criminal penalties for those convicted of running international pig butchering and grandparent scams that have plagued rural residents. The bill also addresses government program fraud and hoping to close loopholes that were exposed recently with, whatever in Minnesota, right? It was autism, and it was child care, and it was secondary education, and on and on and on they went. The Star Tribune reports on the heels of the big announcement about Becker, Minnesota, Google has revealed plans for a second massive data center, this one near Rochester. Project is expected to bring hundreds of millions of dollars in investment to the southeast Minnesota region. And it's apparently a little tech hub going on down there for digital infrastructure down by Rochester. And I say to you, my friend, when are we going to hear the announcements about North Dakota? We were told we got all this power, all this cold air. Let's go. I like that we're getting these things in Minnesota. But it's got to be harder to do business down there than it is up here, right? Let's go, North Dakota. We got to get rolling on this one. Fox Business reports that consumer confidence surged in February as Americans grew less pessimistic about the labor market and future job prospects. Despite sticky inflation, the rebound suggests households are adjusting to the current price environment and feel pretty good about things to come. How about that? All I hear is that the poll numbers are bad for the president. Although I did hear one polling number, I can't even remember where I saw it. Oh, it was CNN. They had a deal on there that said, do you think the policies of President Trump will lead us to a better or worse place? And 64% said better. This is when CNN's running polls saying the president only has 40% approval rating. I don't know. Maybe it's just that voters are fickle. And thousands of volunteers are gathering in Fargo this week with the goal to hand-pack 1.5 million meals for hungry kids across the globe. It's the Feed My Starving Children Fargo Pack. And they're hoping for 1.5 million meals. Continues to be one of the biggest regional mobilizations of community service. They get students, businesses, church groups, families to all come together there. We're good-hearted people around here, doggone it. Yes. Yes, we are. All right, when we come back on the Steve Holstrom Show, just getting warmed up, my friend. Kevin Cramer said, best State of the Union address yet by Donald Trump. Example after example of prosperity and safety. But there was one moment that they'll be talking about for decades. That's next.
I cannot wait. I cannot wait for best thing I heard all day. It was something I heard this morning, and it was better than anything I heard last night in the State of the Union address. And yes, I know what I am saying. I do not choose these words lightly, my friend. You're going to love it too. At least I think you will. So I'm making it best thing I heard all day. I'll just leave you a little tease like that. Speaking of teases, coming up at the bottom of the hour, we'll speak with Robert Erbley, North Dakota State Senator, District 28. He was down there at that crazy meeting on Sunday. And I did get a comment from Matt Simon, the North Dakota GOP chair, about that. I'll tell you about that, too, coming up here in a little bit. Tried to get him on the show today. It didn't work out, but he gave me a very interesting statement. So that's coming up today. Here in just a few moments. And coming up, I would like to hear from you. What was your favorite moment of the State of the Union address? You can give me a call, 701-271-1100. But I got a few things to get to for a few minutes here, so maybe text is the best or email today. 701-237-1590 is the text line, 237-1590, or email studio@flagfamily.com. I'm coming to you live from the Drive with Vision studio, Vision Ford Lincoln in Wahpeton. 15 minutes or less to buy a beautiful new car down there, truck, SUV, drivewithvision.com. I'm very thankful for their sponsorship of the studio. Okay, story of the day, prosperity and safety, prosperity and safety, prosperity and safety. I have said for a long, long time, if you can have that in your city, your county, your state, your country, your world, things are going to be really, really good. And that's what we had last night. There were some great moments and some eyebrow raisers, too. J.D. Vance has been picked to lead the war on fraud. I love it. And what a great way for him to audition for being the next president. This could be one of his great moments where he can say, look at what I helped the president do, right? That's how you'd say it, to help crack down on fraud in our government and across the country. We got a border czar. Now we have a fraud czar, and I love it. President talking about how his tax policy and trade efforts are making concrete changes to our trade balance and economic picture. Fantastic. And yes, USA hockey team. The goalie's going to get the Presidential Medal of Freedom. Trump loves sports. President Trump loves sports. But they will talk about for decades the moment that made everything very simple and very clear for the American people about who is with you and who is not. Congress was forced to pick a side last night. They were forced to tell the world if they stood with the American people or if they stood with illegal immigrants, and half the group failed the test. If you know me at all, I'm not one of those people that lets himself easily get caught up in the moment. I try very hard to, when everybody's going one way, I say, okay, what am I missing here? Because you seldom do your best thinking when you get caught up in the moment. So I'm not one to say this was the best thing or the worst thing that ever happened. I try to stay away from the hyperbole. But after sleeping on it and thinking about it a little bit this morning, I do believe that what President Trump did last night was the most effective political tactic I have ever seen.
So tonight I'm inviting every legislature to join with my administration in reaffirming a fundamental principle. If you agree with this statement, then stand up and show your support. The first duty of the American government is to protect American citizens, not illegal aliens.
Okay, so it's a true or false question. I'm going to leave this applause playing just to give you the soundtrack for what I'm talking about here. The applause went on and on and on and on and on. Just when you thought it was going to die out, they kept going. And I think probably it was orchestrated a little bit ahead of time. My guess, I don't know that. But like all the Republicans, they were just ready and they sprang to their feet and they kept going while just about every Democrat in the place sat down, didn't clap, didn't smile. I think I saw Rashida Tlaib flip the middle finger at the president. I replayed. I said, Tracy,
Did you see what I just saw? And she, of course, wants to stay out of, like, the controversy. That's who she is. But she, I kind of think so. I was not really processing politics much when Ronald Reagan had his "you're no Jack Kennedy" moment. Listen to them. They just kept going. I wasn't really paying attention to politics back then. But that's the only thing I can think of as far as a political moment. If you've got one, throw it in, because I really do want to get a list going here. 271-1100 or text message 237-1590. It went for like another minute, okay? But President Trump put the Congress on the record with the American people. Are you for the American people, or are you for the illegal immigrants? And they would not stand. They would not clap. In fact, they got mad because he had them. He had them. And it was on display. And President Trump just looked over, smiled, shook his head, gestured over there like, ladies and gentlemen, these are your congressional Democrats. What a gift to the Republican Party with midterms just firing up. What a gift to any candidate who's running really as a Republican against any Democrat. What a gift to any, especially if you're running against any of those people. And why? Why will they profess their undying allegiance to the illegals over the American people? You could, a sixth grader could have understood it. It's not that as though it was too advanced, too high intellect. Wait a minute, what was he at? I really didn't understand the question. You can't say that. It was so simple and so succinct and so brilliant. 64% in the CNN poll this morning said President Trump's policies will move the U.S. in the right direction. Wow. It was an amazing speech. It was filled with everything that you would ever want to have in a political speech. It was over and over and over again, hitting on the themes that Americans really wanted to have happen. It was hitting on the themes of the public safety. It was about heroes. It was about American exceptionalism. Enough of this going around saying, I'm sorry for us being America. I'm sorry for us wanting the best for our country. We want what's best for you. It doesn't really matter as long as we all get along. The American people are done. They're just done with all of that. And I don't know what you're doing today if you are at the DNC or the Minnesota DFL headquarters or anywhere else where they're trying to figure out strategy about how to go forward, because President Trump exposed where their hearts are at, their genuine reflection of what's important in this country. He said it's a simple choice. Are you with the American people or are you with the illegal immigrants? And very, very few. I'll give them some credit. There were some times I thought that the Democrats would not stand up at all. But I guess a few of them know that they're in congressional races and they got to try to win in areas where red candidates have won from time to time. Maybe it was that. I don't know. Maybe it's just my cynical side there. But it was predominantly Donald Trump calling out the libs, the far left. And Rashida Tlaib, Ilhan Omar were shouting at the president because he had them. He had them. And maybe in Ilhan Omar's district and Tlaib's district, it doesn't matter. Maybe they like that. I don't know. But, man, I think the president just illustrated the differences between the American public and the Republicans who are trying their best, far from perfect, but trying their best to stand with them. It was phenomenal. And that, to me, is the story of the day. Coming up here in just a few moments, Robert Erbley, North Dakota State Senator from District 28, talked to him yesterday. As I was trying to get my head around what happened with the District 28 meeting, where it sounds like it was sort of an attempted overthrow of the meeting. So we'll do that. I can tell you also that I did exchange a couple of messages with the head of the North Dakota Republican Party, Matt Simon, the new party chair. I asked if he would come on the show today because I'm curious about just sort of this I don't say changing feel, but this vibe I'm getting that things are going to be more contentious as time goes on, that there are elements within the North Dakota Republican Party that are sort of willing to do whatever to get their point across. And I'm not saying that's bad. I'm just saying they are doing whatever needed, including overthrowing meetings and whatever. Hey, look, if you've got desperate times, desperate measures, I understand all that. I'm not going to be the one to tell you if it's the right thing to do or if it's within the rules. I don't know about any of that. I'm just saying that there seems to be more than like a spirited discussion. There's some anger there within the party. And with the state convention coming up in Minot here in just, well, a few weeks, I'm just wondering what the Republican Party chair is thinking that things are going to be like and how much Matt wants to get involved at the district level. And some GOP party chairs in certain states just say, you know what, I'm going to kind of stay away from all that. So I did get a statement from Matt through email. He said, my team and I have been in close communication about District 28 and are working on a resolution that should be amenable to all parties involved. So, interesting stuff. With that, we bring in State Senator from District 28, Robert Erbley, kind enough to join us here on the Valley Christian Counseling and Wellness phone line. Good morning, Senator. How are you today?
Good morning, Steve. I'm doing really good. It's still a little cool morning. I'm waiting for some warmer days coming, but it's a great morning.
Yes, sir. Calving season coming up soon for you ranchers. You ready to go?
We're in it. Just a few minutes ago, I helped my grandson get a fresh calf into a pen and help him putting bedding down. So typically, I'm not one to listen to a lot of morning radio because I'm outside a lot. But when I do, I do appreciate your show and how you conduct it. And it's good to be with you.
Very kind of you. And congrats on the new calf. I thought we were still a couple weeks away, but I suppose we're into late February. So wonderful. And I'm glad that you're all not dealing with blizzards like we've had in past calving season. So hopefully the weather continues to be at least halfway decent for you all. As I mentioned, I know it's a very busy time. Thank you for joining me today. I kind of went through yesterday from my conversation with you as well as some other news reports I've seen out there. And I've had a number of my audience members call or email in and said, well, kind of here's what I took from it, too. But it sounded like the meeting began kind of as normal, a group of a couple dozen people. But then things another wave of people came in and things got a little goofy there. Now, you were, as I understand it, sitting in the back of the room, not involved with leading the meeting as such. But can you kind of give us your perspective of what happened?
Yeah, like you said, I had a spot at the back of the room because as our meeting was advertised, it was solely for three purposes. Number one was to give statewide candidates an opportunity to get before potential delegates to the state convention. And then we were going to break into our county caucuses because we have five counties, and each county is allotted a certain number of delegates based on population and votes for governor in the last election and so on. And so our next order of business was to break into those county meetings to see if we could fill our designated delegate slots, and then after that ratify the delegates for the convention. That's how it was advertised in the paper as the business to be conducted on that day. The thing that, you know, just kind of baffled me and took me by surprise, there were 58 people there that ultimately wound up registering and paying their district dues of $13.50. But the thing that surprised me is you typically have other business happens when you have an endorsing convention, which happens on a year when we have an election. Now, we're an even-numbered district, so we don't have any candidates up in this cycle, and so therefore we are not having an endorsing convention. So that one's kind of off the table. And then the other time we meet is in the odd-numbered years, which is called a reorg, where we re-elect our executive committee and our county committeemen. So those are really the two main meetings that we meet and take up other business with, bylaws and that sort of thing. But right, this meeting was advertised solely for state convention delegate approval.
Okay.
And so And we went through the whole thing. You know, we called a meeting to order, had our pledge to the flag, let a couple of statewide candidates speak, and then the chairman started to organize us into our county caucuses. And then someone made a motion to say, and I believe it was something like, I move that we suspend the chair, I think is the way it was. Anyway, they wanted to take over the meeting and have the chairman step aside. And the chairman, as I would have done, refused to recognize that motion. And then there was a lady who drove all the way down from Minot as a hired gun, I guess, stands up and says, I'm a certified parliamentarian and you have to take this motion, and becomes very vocal, you know, walks up to the front of the room, and half a dozen of those who hired her, I guess, rose and went up there, and to his credit, I feel our chairman just held his ground. And there was a few other people, you know, that came up to try to support him. One of them was a newspaper editor, and saying, no, you know, this is how it was advertised. If any other business is to come up, it has to be notified so that people know about what's going to happen at the meeting and be here. You know, if you have the rules, you have to put it out 2 weeks before the meeting and all of that. You know, there's a protocol you have to follow.
Sorry to interrupt you, but our time is so short. I've got some questions to follow up. I think I get kind of the details, and I appreciate you kind of giving us a TikTok there. Is the woman right? Does procedure require the chair to give up the meeting when a motion is made like that?
Well, Steve, I don't know. You know, she was standing there with a very thick book called Robert's Rules of Order. Mm. But, you know, bylaws supersede Robert's Rules of Order, and Robert's Rules only apply if the bylaws are silent. And the bylaws do say to conduct meetings as announced and may take up other businesses that come before the group. If not, shall.
Okay.
You know,
so. That seems to be a key difference, yeah. Okay. So the chair, Brandenburg, Representative Brandenburg, had the right, as you understand it, to say, no, I have I've got the position and I don't have to give it up.
That's right.
Okay. So what do you think? I've heard it's about, you know, some of the legislation that's been talked about local control on power projects and pipelines. Is that what you think this is all about?
Well, as I started to dig into the background too, yes, that's what it seems to be like, but that's not an appropriate place for that. You know, so I what I understood is they opposed this power line going from Jamestown down to Allendale, and so they wanted a resolution that this Republican Party of District 28 would be against that. It basically, they wanted a resolution to that effect, and they got enough people lined up and down that power line corridor to come in and make that vote. But, you know, the resolutions are toothless. I mean, if this horse is out of the barn, that power line has been in the works for years already and, you know, starting to come to fruition. And, you know, Representative Brandenburg was a prime sponsor on a bill, 1258, last year, which I think is one of their contentious points. But that bill was pretty simple, and really all it said was you have to follow state zoning guidelines, and you can deviate from that for special or extenuating circumstances. And it's no different than what the PSC is already doing. Sure. They always look at a route and say, well, is there a reason why it can't or cannot be here? All that did was put those words in the code.
Sure. Do you think that, Senator, do you think these people, the group that was upset about things and kind of try to take over the meeting, do you think they speak for the majority of residents in the district?
No, absolutely not. I mean, we have 17,000 people in the district, and you know, any activist group, they can stir up their base, and they can come to these meetings, and they can have enough, you know, to take over a meeting. they can even take over a state convention like they did last year or 2 years ago. But the primary always tells the story. Who they push and what they push is never voted on by the general public.
Interesting. I've got a caller. Dana is on the line. Would like to ask you a question. Dana, we've just got a short amount of time. Can you make it quick, please?
Yeah, good morning, Robert and Steve and everybody.
Good morning, Dana.
Okay. Moving forward, Robert, have you guys decided to call another meeting so that these people can put in their grievances, as we would call them, and address them? Because I don't see it as taking over the meeting. They just want to be heard.
Okay, thanks.
A lot of us don't know the rules, you know.
Yeah, gotcha, Dana. Thank you. And sorry to be quick with you, brother, but we'll just move that along. Robert, how about that? Any chance to do another meeting on this issue?
I don't think so, because I feel like that's not the purpose and the business structure of the District 28 Executive GOP Committee.
So just work through the regular opportunities, the regular chances to come in and make your voice heard as the process plays along. Very good. Senator, thank you. Yes, sorry, we're up against a hard break, but I do appreciate your time. This has been very helpful. You've shed a lot of light onto some things, and we appreciate you taking the time today.
And I appreciate your time, too. Thank you, Steve.
Thanks again. Senator Robert Erbley, District 28, your chance to respond when we come back on the Steve Alstrom Show, 271-1100. North Dakota's future depends on the choices we make today, and Americans for Prosperity North Dakota is proud to unveil their 2027 policy agenda, the North Dakota Road to Opportunity. They're pushing for the total elimination of the state income tax and expanded property tax relief. They're calling for a North Dakota Reins Act to rein in government overreach. And they're fighting for education savings accounts for every student to empower parents. View the full plan and find out how to get involved at AFPND.org, AFPND.org, paid for by Americans for Prosperity. 701-271-1100. So a couple things we have on the table for you to react to. Number one, what was your favorite part of the State of the Union address last night? And second of all, how do you feel about the process that they're talking about now in District 28? Robert Erbley, the senator, was on, and I appreciated his outlining of what happened. And when you listen to what he said, it seems like a fairly open and shut case that this wasn't the time to do this. The meeting wasn't for that purpose. It has to be promoted as a meeting to have that purpose if you're going to have it. And the chair does not have to give up his or her position if he or she does not choose to give it up. And the people that attended the meeting said that they felt like they had grounds to do that. That's something, I guess, that a judge would have to decide in interpreting what the rules of order are there. And that's why they have rules of order, because these things do happen. So it kind of seems like the correct legal answer is what they did is how it needed to be done if you're going to do it by the book. Again, I'm not making judgments. I'm just based on what I'm hearing. If you see this differently, I'd be interested in hearing from you today at 271-1100. But I think the caller, Dana, brings up a very good point. How do you make your voice heard when you have a process that doesn't allow for the topic that you want to have come up at this time, but you're at a pretty key juncture where you're deciding on, you know, delegates to go to the state convention? So I understand, and I sympathize, too, with people who want to make a say. And there's nothing more frustrating than feeling like you want to make a difference. You got something to say you think wrong has been done, but you can't do anything about it. And shame on us if our political process doesn't give us a way to allow people to say, you know what, I haven't been paying attention forever, take me up back and shoot me. But now that I know about this, I want to get involved and I want to say something about it, and I don't like what's happened and I want to be able to be a part of this process. Now, maybe those that were running the evening would say, well, we did have a way to do that. Again, just don't know enough about that. But I do think that political parties have a duty to reach out and try to be affable and approachable to those who would wish to make change. And I get it, that sometimes gets in the way of incumbency and reelection and all that. But if we can't do that, then it seems like we're missing out what politics are really supposed to be for average people who maybe aren't part of the establishment, who haven't followed everything for 100 years, but just want to get involved, and they say, look, I just want to speak my mind because what's happening I don't think is right. Let's go to the Valley Christian Counseling and Wellness phone line. Perry is on the line. Perry, what do you have to say about this?
As far as district meetings go, there is a laid out plan that needs to be followed called the agenda. And usually at every district meeting, there is a parliamentarian hired by the district from a different district to be in attendance to explain the process of how things work.
But sort of an impartial arbiter of sorts, you would say. Okay.
Exactly. And we have seen the same type of thing happen in the district that I reside in. It was several years ago now where the meeting was called to order, and a group of people wanted to immediately suspend the rules, rewrite the bylaws, and get rid of the district chair. And our district chair said, motion denied.
Mm-hmm.
And the parliamentarian agreed with him that that was not the correct process.
Okay.
So I don't know if District 28 had a parliamentarian hired individually, but it apparently was not this person that claimed to be the expert parliamentarian.
Yeah, it sounds like it was not, because I think the senator would have told us that. So, yeah, and what you're saying is it's typical. They can, they should, maybe. But if it's not required, it's not required. Now, that's maybe a conversation for another time. But it doesn't sound, if they didn't, it doesn't sound like they broke any rules in not having one.
Right.
Yeah. Okay.
And... I have one other thing.
Sure.
The parliamentarian that went to the front of the room and spoke, presumably out of turn, I believe was the same person that did this 2 years ago at the state convention. She went up to the microphone several times throughout 2 days, she wanted to say that the parliamentarian that the state party had hired was incorrect in several things that the convention was not following the proper procedures and was also denied at that.
Okay, so this person has been involved in situations like this before, it sounds like. Very good. Perry, I got to run, but thank you for...
It may need to disrupt the district.
Yeah, I got you. Perry, thanks for giving a call. And I love the perspectives. Yeah. I am not a political establishment or know how these things work. I'm just a business guy who does a radio show. So it's helpful when we do have that perspective. But if you're on the other side on this, I'd like to hear from you too. What is it that you're mad about? What do you want to change? And are you committed to continuing this in a different way later? Hour two of the program coming up next, the Key Three. I did notice that the president shook hands and seemed very cordial with the four Supreme Court justices that were there last night. And they did not all vote on his side when it came to the tariff ruling that they brought down last week. I thought that was a stately thing for the president to do. Would have been easy for him, and there's probably a big part of him that felt like, screw these guys. I'm not going to shake their hand. I'll just give them the stink eye from the stage a few times. But he didn't do that. So... conciliatory, right? I mean, I think we need to point that out because everybody points out when, Trump holds a grudge or gets angry with people or whatever. So I thought that was good. I'm a little old fashioned. I know some of you don't care. I like that kind of stuff. I do. I think that's a part of getting people together. I think it's a part of uniting the country. And I think that's a lot of stuff that moderates and independents vote for. I do. They tend to not be necessarily as much high information voters always. I'm stereotyping a little bit here, but this is just my experience, nothing more. But people like that like to see things like that, and I thought that was good. If you are feeling overwhelmed raising your kids in today's woke, ever-changing world, and you're not sure how to answer the tough questions that come up about culture, identity, and values, well, we've got just the thing for you. Fieldstone Group, Flag Family Media, invites you to an evening with author and speaker Stacy Manning. Stacy's coming to town on Saturday, March 28th at Capstone Classical Academy in Fargo. She's written a book called Raising a Conservative Kid in a Woke City, and she will equip parents with practical tools and confidence to have thoughtful, age-appropriate conversations with their kids. There's a VIP meet and greet at 6 o'clock, program at 7. Tickets start at just $25. Get yours now at am1100theflag.com, am1100theflag.com. I've been asking you today, what was your favorite part of the State of the Union address? Emailer Elmer, I think a new emailer to the program, said, I love it when Trump looked at the Democrats and said 11,000 murders came into the country and you allowed it to happen. That was good. That was good. Yeah, I think the real number is like, and I don't know what Trump said last night, but it's like 11,800 people convicted murderers. Oh, my gosh, they came into the country. Some people are going to say, well, there's 330 million people in the country. That's a statistical rounding error. Yeah, okay. I think if we let in one, it would be too many. So I'm with you, Elmer, on that one. Good stuff there. Thank you for that. Before I get to the key three, a couple of comments have come in here about the District 28 situation. Steve, the woman from Minot is Wendy Badgley. She's a frequent agitator at GOP meetings and is part of the nut job right wing of the NDGOP that's trying to take over the party. She promotes herself as a parliamentary expert. She's usually the loudest voice in the room. Another text on this. Every legislator and every district leadership person I have come across has been very willing to be accessible and attentive to anyone who has questions or comments about issues. There's no need to use an ambush-style tactic unless disruption is the goal. Okay. There's a couple of people who are saying, kind of sounds like the right thing was done here and that maybe these folks, they might have a point, but they're doing it the wrong way. Let's go back to the phone line, and Dana wants to, add something else to what he said earlier. Dana, what else do you have?
Hey, thank you for letting me back on, Steve. I just want to point this out, and don't call me an agitator, an activist, all the goofy names you got. They're trying to paint a picture here that's not really what it is. Because, he said that the bylaws, that they just redid them. Well, I got a copy from 22. And, how are you going to address this if you guys don't want to have a meeting to do it? You say you represent all the people. When you ask you, hey, put a meeting out, you can call your people. They can call their people. Let's have a vote and see where everybody stands. I don't think that's going to happen. Well, then don't tell us that you care about all of us when you know that if they say, hey, can you have a meeting to address this issue? Nope, it's not going to happen.
All right, Dana, get where you're going on that. Yeah, so, and I'm trying to say a version of that. I don't have a dog in this fight at all, but I do think there is a responsibility for political parties to have opportunities for people to help shape the platform for that district and what the district believes in as they're listening to the people. Now, maybe they're doing that, Dana. I don't know. But I do understand, too, that there's a way to do things to keep it orderly, and you've got to have some rules, and they're not going to be perfect, but you got to have something to go by, and it sounds like that's what the people were doing here. Should they call another meeting? I don't know. Maybe they had a meeting a month ago. Maybe there's something planned this summer. I just don't know enough about that. But I think you're saying something. I would say it a little bit differently, but along the same lines, that you hope that just the everyday common person who doesn't know everything and who doesn't understand where to go for all the meeting minutes and whatever, that an outsider can approach the party and say, hey, let my voice be heard too. I think you and I are saying the same thing there, aren't we?
Why don't, like Robert Everly and my brother Mike and all the committee members say, hey, we got this on the radio. It's drawing a lot of attention. We do say we care about the people of the county and the district. Let's put on a meeting. We can call our people that back us. They can call the people that think like they do, and let's have it out.
Yeah. Yep. Dana, thanks. Yep. Thanks, brother. I got to run along, but thank you very much for giving a call. I know you speak for a lot of people, and I think you make some sense there. Again, I just don't want to take sides on this because I just don't know enough. But it's a good conversation, right? This is what we're supposed to do here. One more text before the key three. Steve, the Supreme Court did not shoot down the tariffs. They decided he could not use Emergency Powers Act for tariffs. They did not say it was illegal, did not order him to return the money. He will pivot and the tariffs will, what does it say? The tariffs will remain. Okay. Yeah, I mean, I'm just kind of skipping to the bottom of the page on this. They shot down the way he was doing the tariffs. He's got other ways to do it. Yeah, they didn't say it was. Well, they said it was. I mean, if they ruled you can't do it, they're saying it's illegal, right? They did not order him to return the money. You're right. That was very bizarre. So maybe it's kind of a half and half kind of a thing there. But thank you for the note on that. All right, key three. I'm going to have to hustle through it now. But good conversation. Thanks for the weighing in on those. These are what I believe to be the three most consequential stories in the news cycle today. 6 months after the Annunciation Church shooting, two Democrat-proposed gun control measures failed to advance out of committee yesterday in St. Paul. They went 10-10 vote. And so it was a tie, so they did not advance out of the committee there. And the big argument there was one was on semi-automatics, and the other was a large capacity magazines. As someone who is, I'm not a gun owner, would like to be, should get around to it, but very much passionate about this. We do need. To protect ourselves. We do need to keep and bear arms and all that. I do wonder if there's an opportunity here on the large capacity magazines, but I haven't given that enough thought to know. I just know you can't take away the gun, but can we, if it makes sense, can we take away, you know, the ability to put, you know, however many rounds in the magazine? That I don't know, but I do like the fact that these things got shut down. I think the more that you erode protections on guns, right, it's a slippery slope. Story number two, Champlin City Council has decided that they will fly the old Minnesota state flag, a 3-2 resolution last night. State law does not require cities to fly the new flag, and they decided that they didn't want to. So there will be one flag, and it will be the old Minnesota state flag in Champlin. Twin City suburb, kind of a blue-collar suburb, very happy to see that happen there. It felt like it was being rammed down people's throats by a small group of people, and you should have the right to say which flag represents Minnesota. And finally, a couple of EV stories for you. Lamborghini is scrapping their EV launch. They say it's an expensive hobby and customers don't want them. Okay. And Lucid, who is up and running with this thing, they reported another quarter of significant financial losses, and they are only able to keep their business going because they are getting investment from Saudi Arabia's public investment fund. They say high production costs are making it really tough, and there's not the kind of demand. So Lamborghini and Lucid both finding the electric vehicle things to be problematic. I'll say this again. I've said it many times. I like EVs. I'd like to have one someday, but I don't want it rammed down our throats. And I certainly don't want it done on the back of some interesting sort of theory on why we need electric vehicles and we can't have gas-powered vehicles. So all good there. When we come back, best thing I heard all day, you're going to love it. Live from the Drive with Vision studio, the Steve Hallstrom Show, rolling into... Well, deep into our second hour of the program here, texter Neil said, Steve, my favorite part of State of the Union was when Trump said, we can all agree that no state should be allowed to rip children away from their parents and transition them to a new gender against their parents' will. And then the Democrats all stayed seated while the Republicans got up and cheered. And Trump said, look at these people. They're crazy. I'm telling you, they're crazy. Yes. There were, how many moments were there like that last night? Oh, my gosh. All right, from the text line, Steve, great job as usual. Love when we get to hear Addison. He plays good music between segments and makes sure that things run extremely smooth. Keep that guy around.
That's what I pay that guy to say.
I love it. Now, it's from an area code that's a 952. So this is not even someone in the backyard, so I can't accuse this of being like one of your buddies or anything like that.
952, I don't even know where that would be from.
Yeah, 952, I think is the city's western suburbs there. Me too. Love Addison too. It's why I gave him I gave him my last Monster Energy drink last week when he was grinding it out.
I needed it, and I really appreciated it.
Yes, and so Addison says peach over grape, and I'm not with you. Those are my 1-2, but I'm grape first.
The grape was really good. Mm-hmm. It was really good, but I'm a sucker for the peach. It won out just a little bit more to me.
It's solid. Both of them are solid. Yes, Addison plays great music. And what you don't know is how good this guy is behind the scenes. I can throw him a curveball in the break and say, hey, can you bring it back with this song? Or, oh, sorry, I forgot to tell you about this audio clip. Here's the folder. And Addison's never like, Hallstrom, get your crap together. I'm not here to just clean up all your messes all the time. He always says, oh, okay, no problem. So the best partner to work with on this show, buddy. I appreciate you. So there's right two of us in the Addison fan club, at least. And I bet there's many, many more. All right. Best thing I heard all day. So I loved the State of the Union address last night, but best thing I heard all day was this morning. Okay. Pam Bondi was on Fox and Friends this morning, and Pam Bondi was talking about the State of the Union address, and kind of out of nowhere, she took a turn in the conversation that was being had as she was on with Ainsley Earhart. And Ainsley pitched it to Pam Bondi, the AG, and was talking about like how clear you could see that President Trump loves the country because of the things that he said last
Ainsley,
night.
Ainsley, as you know, he loves America. President Trump has made America safe again, and that's what he's doing. And in turn, that makes Americans feel safe to go to work, to have jobs, to be able to go to church, to be able to function in our country and be safe. Mm-hmm. And that's what's driving our economy. Mm-hmm. Donald Trump making America safe. And that's why our economy is at a record high. We all know that, and it's safe. And, you know, we also had last night there Andy Wolf, and I've gotten to be very close with his mom, Melody. And you know something else, Ainsley, you'll appreciate this, what President Trump said, what's very different? We are a praying administration.
I loved
and
that.
We all are. Our cabinet prayed before we went out there last night. We prayed That's for the amazing. President. We prayed for Congress. We prayed for the country.
We prayed for the president. We prayed for the Congress, and we prayed for our country. We are a praying administration. When I hear that, it darn near brings tears to my eyes. Other stuff is really good here, too.
And that's because of Donald Trump. And that's what's making America safe. And, you know,
and that's because of Donald Trump. The fact that they're a praying administration is because of Donald Trump.
Andy Wolf is a miracle. Mm-hmm. And seeing him standing there with his mom, Melody, she's such a proud mom. And I think I've spoken to you about this. They prayed so much about his health. President Trump talked to them on the phone with me many times. And he's just, he so deserved the Purple Heart.
Okay. When I hear things like this, to me, it makes me feel like, as people of faith, we can breathe again. The last 4 years under the Biden administration, I felt like the spiritual nature of our country was getting crushed. We now have a president who stands up for families and parents in this, the transgender and fair competition, standing up for our girls and our women. A president who stands up for law and order, and that's freedom, and that's biblical. It's straight out of the scriptures. The president who appoints judges that he knows will look at issues and not try to fight for abortion. At least they'll be neutral in these things. All of these things are better with Donald Trump in office. And when I hear Pam Bondi say this, and I think about what that must have been like to be in that meeting, wouldn't you have given your left arm to be in their prayer huddle, the cabinet meeting ahead of time from the State of Union to pray? They met ahead of time to pray for the president, the Congress, and the country. And when you see the Fox and Friends team pumping their fist, it just feels so good. And it gets emotional for me because I'm one of those people who, in the right situation, I'd take a bullet for God. I would. Hopefully it never comes to that, but you never know. But we're not just talking about policy and laws here. We're talking about things that honor God. Again, and making it possible again for him to bless our country that has given so many of us so much. Now, I'm not going to play the game of all Democrats are devil worshipers and all Republicans are saints. We know that that's not true. But this country has given us, so many of us, so much. But when there is sin in the camp, right, it says in the good book, like when there's sin in the camp, God cannot extend his hand of blessing. He has to withhold that. And I feel like our country has got a shot again. It feels like we have a chance to be blessed again by God. And I don't know that we're seeing everything come full circle yet, but just the law and order and the crime that's going down, the fentanyl, the drugs that are going down, and all of those things. Last night was an opportunity to be reminded of all the things that not just honor God, but also they just work in real life. And they make for a more prosperous and safe country. It just works. I say this all the time. Conservative principles are fundamentally sound. You can build things on them. It's not just some whim or some theory or I love these people, so let's forget about common sense as we try to come alongside these people and make them feel a certain way. None of the people in Trump's administration are perfect people. Donald Trump is not a perfect human being, of course. Who is? But you know what they have? They have the right set of answers for what will make the country great again. And it starts with them getting together ahead of the State of the Union and praying. Pam Bondi brought that out of nowhere. She didn't have to go there. And you can tell the way she said it, she was proud to say it. And it makes you say, as an American, I'm proud of what I see here. And I think all of us say, gosh, you know, I'd like to do a little something that I can to help out as well. So what does it mean to us? Well, midterms are coming up. And we've all been talking about how do we honor Charlie Kirk and his memory? Go to the meeting. Get involved. Follow these principles that work. And bring that spirit in more than one way to the meeting. Because God's people can make it happen. And we're seeing these things slowly but surely stack up. And I'm here for every single minute of it. Speaking about things I'm always here for, a chat with our good friend Bridget Riedel, our Fieldstone Group Ag Director. She's at the Commodity Classic. We'll talk to Bridget about what's going on in San Antone coming up next. What is the Commodity Classic, you ask? Well, I'm glad that you inquired, my friend. It's America's largest annual farmer-led, farmer-focused convention and trade show. They started it back in 1996, and it is for grain producers. Soybeans, corn, wheat, and sorghum are the stars of the show here. Star of our show when it comes to farm news and ag talk is Bridget Riedel, our wonderful ag director, and she joins us live from San Antone at the 30th annual Commodity Classic. Hi, Bridget. How are you?
Fantastic. I certainly want to start by saying thank you to AgCo and Fendt. They are your partner for advanced ag machinery and smart farming solutions, and thank you to them for making sure I'm here for the unveiling of their latest tractor. That is going to be the Fendt Mario 1000 Gen 4.
Okay, big news and big times. Okay, so first of all, those of us that are up in the hinterlands here want to know, how's the weather? Is it warm down there?
We're looking for a high of somewhere in the neighborhood of 84 degrees.
Oh, my word.
Sure. I can handle that.
That sounds so good.
It's going to feel weird.
Well, they're ready to get out, and they're probably planting already in Texas. I know it's kind of a drier climate down there, but do they run like, you know, four crops of hay every year? How do they do farming down there? Do you know?
You know, I think there's some variability depending on where you're at in the state of Texas, because one, it's kind of large, but there are certainly folks that if they are further into West Texas, more cattle, there are irrigation systems where they're irrigating hay. So they are able to take off those multiple cuttings of hay throughout the year. Mm. We know that as we quickly approach the month of March, if folks aren't already, they are considering the fact that they could be planting some corn. Cotton is another crop that we see down here. And Texas, parts of Texas anyway, are able to double crop. Mm. So if they plant an early enough variety of, say, corn, they could come in later on with potentially soybeans or maybe a wheat. And if the wheat doesn't get enough rain, they could turn that into a grazing situation for cattle. So their options are pretty broad. Yeah.
So, Bridget, you've been to a lot of these shows over the years, but when you go to one of these, I've got to think for someone like you that it just puts a spring in your step, and it never gets old, I bet, going to these shows.
It really doesn't. And here's why. First of all, there's plenty of haters out there who are thinking, well, nobody made any money than 25. Why would we go look at new equipment we can't afford? Fair statement. But it's not just about looking at the latest and greatest equipment. It is an idea generating center. You have the opportunity to network with other farmers in a variety of areas across North America. I happen to know a group of guys who come from Ontario every single year because they want to learn. They want to talk to their farming counterparts, irregardless of what part of the country they're from or country, and ask, what are you doing to do different next year? How did you make that work? And it becomes a great networking opportunity for them. I also know that the business of the American Soybean Association and the National Corn Growers Association, as well as sorghum, happens here. Folks are here to make their policy decisions, to help to determine how they want to influence policy and law in Washington, D.C., as well as within their state association. So it's truly a business opportunity as well. Yes, do we get to go out in the evenings and have a good time? Well, I hope so, because it's a long way to go to get here, and I might want to unwind. I mean, this is not walking.
That's what I love about Bridget. She keeps it real. so good.
I'm gonna wear my Red Wing boots today, and I am going to hustle the steps all across that trade show, because it's not just one level; it's two. It's large equipment. It's small size booths. It's educational seminars. I'm fortunate to be moderating two different panels while I'm down here for our partners at Acres TV. There's a lot of work to be done in the business of agriculture today.
Yeah. So the show starts today, and everything is going here the next 3 days or so. What are you most looking forward to learning or talking about when you're down there?
You know, the little kid in me who had to pick rocks is maybe a little angsty about the fact that now TerraClear is bringing out a self-propelled robot that not only you can fly the drone, map where your rocks are. You could go out and pick your own rocks the most efficient manner possible, determined by your drone footage. Or you can send a little robot out to pick them for you.
Wow.
Where was that when I was a kid, Steve?
No kidding.
I didn't see that thing in the field with me.
Pretty soon you're going to tell me there's one that'll pick the mustard out of the field, too.
I would say that moment in time is very close.
Probably
to us.
Coming, yeah. Oh, my gosh. How many days did my brother and I just hate our life out picking rock and mustard? Oh, my God. And we didn't wear sunscreen back then, of course. It was just go out there and, you know, catch some rays. So it's amazing any of us are still alive. Bridget, I think you talked about there is a tension, frustration with commodity prices. I guess the guys I know are more corn and soybean guys, but I imagine it extends to other things as well, because growing a crop of any kind gets more expensive all the time. Commodity prices, we're getting so good as a country and as a world at growing things. We're getting so good at providing supply, and the prices get high, and all that means a tough business equation. What of that will be talked about, you think, over the next 3 days?
Oh, it's a tremendous amount. You know, there are speakers who are here putting on seminars talking about commodity pricing updates, outlook, what we're seeing on a global market, because we do really work in a global market. It's no longer what just happens in our neighborhood anymore. And that pertains to our crop systems, what we're going to sell to who and how, as well as our inputs. What are we doing for fertilizer? What is happening with the cost of whether it's tariffs? What happened with the change at the EPA for the right to repair and for equipment? How does that impact my farm? Truly going to these shows is about education as well. There's a lot of that needs to be done on a daily basis, because farmers are incredibly ingenuitive and optimistic. You have the opportunity here to feel good about your industry, learn how you can do it better, but then nothing's wrong with sidling on up to those folks at the booth and saying, it's a nice tillage tool you got there. You know how you could make it better? I got an idea.
I love it. For our friends out in the KTGO country, for them it's the small grains, the wheat that is kind of the big stuff, in addition to grazing land. Do you find people coming there, maybe in animal agriculture, that want to learn about some of those crops and you know, grazing land and wheat and things like that? Do you tend to see some animal ag people there too, kind of learning about some of those things that might interact with their world?
I think absolutely, because when you consider so many, especially North Dakota, so many of our producers have both cropland and a livestock operation. They're very diversified. And so they want to see both sides of that equation. when you are here and you are talking to folks with corn growers, soybean growers, you're talking about livestock feed and how we can be more efficient with that as well. And the softwares and technologies, the things that we're talking about in a corn and soybean world can apply also to some of our hay ground, our wheat crop, our sunflowers. It's not just we're talking two crops here. We're still going to cover the gamut of them. You know, one of the panels I'm going to lead is with Valent, and Valent's going to talk about a pre-emergent herbicide with a mode of action in group 14 that's applicable to wheat. So we have the opportunity to see what happens in so many other pieces of commodity within our industry besides just the corn and soybean.
Yeah. Machinery is always a big part of the show, too. You talked about Fendt rolling out a new tractor, and that's always fun, right? There's something about just seeing a big, new, shiny piece of iron on the floor, right?
There really is, because every farmer I know likes to kick tires on iron. You know, you might not own it right away. But remember, the technology there that you are seeing on something new, there's a lot of retrofits that are going out there. And so doing some aftermarket work on what you already own is great. Folks look at autonomy, particularly in tractors, and say, well, that tractor drives itself. But you know what? It's still a tractor. You want to get into it and drive it? You still can. It just gives you another option. And maybe learning more about how it's working in a new tractor helps you decide what you may or may not do to upgrade what you currently have as well.
When you talk about machinery too, Bridget, I have to think that the new tax bill that Congress put through last July 4th talked about immediate expensing for the depreciation for businesses, and so farmers obviously a part of that. Have you gotten a lot of vibe from people like, this is fantastic for us, and here in 2026, this is something that, yeah, we were kind of waiting, and but this kind of pushed us over the edge and made us head down to the implement dealer. Are you hearing that at all?
Oh, I think that it happens on a case-by-case basis, and it's probably not, I'm going to trade the whole fleet because this is such a good deal, but it might be more of, have a little trouble with this one particular piece of equipment, whether it's a tractor, a sprayer, et cetera, and I think it's time for me to trade. This gives them that extra boost of confidence to be able to do it. We know that year on year, new tractor sales are down about 30%. We're looking at new combine sales, and they're probably about the same percentage. And so it's very close to the vest when those changes are made, especially on new equipment. As we look at used equipment, that market's been very strong. And in fact, there are some pieces of used equipment that are hard to find because, well, everybody wanted them. They were a cheaper price, low hours, good condition, and now all of a sudden they got snapped up and moved around. So it will be interesting to watch without as many trade-ins what that does to the used market here over time. But I think the bigger picture is still farmers are still farming. Someone is always going to put that crop in the ground. They're going to need equipment to do it, and they're going to figure out the most inventive way. And that doesn't matter if they keep a piece of iron longer and work on it more closely, or they go in for that trade-in and do something new. They're going to find ways to get it done.
Good stuff. Are you doing any of your moderating sessions today, or does that all fire up tomorrow?
That'll really fire up tomorrow. Today is really the educational sessions begin. The business meetings are being held. The trade show will open right after I get out of the tractor cab from doing the unveiling with Fendt. So that show will start about 2:30 tomorrow. Big day. We'll have USDA Ag Secretary Brooke Rollins here. We will continue to see what's happening on all of the different trade show floor areas with booths, et cetera. So lots of news to come. I'm going to make as many notes as I can and send lots of pictures back.
Oh, good stuff. If I could buy stock in people, I'd buy some stock. After I bought some in you, I would buy some stock in Brooke Rollins. I love listening to her talk. She is so smart, and she's got a farm background, but she comes from outside the industry, which can be helpful in kind of taking a look at things with a fresh perspective. And got a chance to meet her at an event not too long ago and super impressed with her. And so that'll be fun for everybody to catch the Ag Secretary there tomorrow. Bridget, thanks for the visit. Great stuff, and we'll visit with you again tomorrow.
Wonderful. Thanks so much, Steve.
Thanks, Bridget. Bridget Riedel checking in from the Commodity Classic down in San Antonio. When we come back on the program, a few more comments coming our way on the District 28 kerfuffle. Can we use that term? So we will talk about that coming up next on the show. Plus, I got a little sports I got to talk about, too, and we'll do that when we come back. Vision Ford and Lincoln in Wahpeton is hiring in their sales team. and their service teams. That's good news for you. Make some good money helping your friends, neighbors, family members find cars, trucks, SUVs that fit them just right. And service techs at Vision Ford Lincoln make more than anywhere else in the five-state area. No weekends, full benefits. Vision Ford Lincoln, not just a place to buy a great set of wheels, it's a place to put your service career in overdrive. Go to drivewithvision.com to find out more. That's drivewithvision.com. All right, I promised you yesterday that I would get the specifics on the wine in a box that I have found that I love. And I'm a little bit of a wine snob, I think. I'm a red guy, and I'm a Cabernet, Malbec, some red blends guy. I'm not like the Shiraz. That's not me. But I was telling people yesterday that I found a wine in a box I really like. And for someone who doesn't want to drink the whole bottle at one sitting, that's kind of a nice thing. And so I looked it up when I got home and took a picture of it. It is a, and I'm not getting paid by these people. I'm just passing this along to you because I like for you to have the good things in life too, just like me. It's a company called Bota, B-O-T-A, Bota Box. And this is called Nighthawk Bourbon Barrel Aged Cabernet Sauvignon. Okay, Nighthawk Bourbon Barrel Aged Cab Sauvignon. It is in a dark red box, and I'm guessing you can find it at most places. But that's what I have, and it's a little to me out of the Camus family. It's not, but it tastes that way. It's got that just kind of hint of vanilla or honey or something. It's just a little bit sweet. It's not sharp, but it's still super dry. And I think it tastes great, and everybody's kind of got their own thing. If you like Bonanza, if you had that before, I would say it's a lot like Bonanza. And so for the price, it's great. $15-16 a box, and it's like five bottles worth in there. So anyway, I mentioned it, and then people said, hey, tell me more about that. So there you go on that. 51 past the hour here as we wrap up. I have a few things I want to talk about in the sports world. So I'm a sports nut. Maybe my first love. Probably love sports before I love Jesus. Love my mom and dad and my family, I guess. Maybe my second one. But love sports. It's in my blood. It's who I am. And I love talking about it. I want to say congratulations to my friend Tay Rich, the Moorhead running back, who committed last night to play football for the Minnesota Gophers. He's going to be playing in the Big Ten. And he was considered one of the running backs they really had targeted for this class. He'll be a senior this next year, and he's a phenomenal football player, and he loves Jesus. And I've had a chance to see him at chapel services. I know he's active in FCA, and credit to his parents for raising a wonderful young man. And Tay is going to go down there, and he's going to be fantastic. So congratulations to Tay, getting an offer to play for the Minnesota Gophers. There's two other guys in that Moorhead class that'll be seniors next year, David Mack, the great receiver, and Jed Feeney, the great quarterback. Wouldn't it be fun if all three of them went down there? That would be so fun. And we've already got Riley Sunram over there, down there, Carter Menz playing down there. So it's really fun to see. I'm probably missing a few. Mason Carrier from Detroit Lakes. So it's really fun to see guys in the backyard getting that chance. Congrats also to one of my family friends, Liza Trenbeth. She plays basketball for Kindred. She scored 38 points last night. Kindred won, beat Wahpeton in their playoff game last night. Wow, that's something else. Congrats to the Cobber men's basketball team. Won their first playoff game in 20 years last night. So Concordia College men's basketball team doing awesome things. Spud hockey, boys hockey team in the section championship tonight in Alexandria against Elk River. Good luck to the Spuds. And Bison football fans, oh boy. Tell me there's not a few of you that are on the computer this morning trying to figure out how to get to Vegas sometime this fall. I don't know that we've got the date yet, but the Bison football team, their first year in the Mountain West Football Conference, football-only member, but they have road games at Vegas and then at Hawaii. So Bison late-night football at Hawaii, I cannot wait for that. And they have home games against two teams that jumped out at me. One, Wyoming, the Cowboys, which will be fun. That's where Craig Bohl went to. It kind of feels like us with a little more experience in our program. Wyoming has had some good years. It's where Josh Allen, the Buffalo Bills quarterback, came out of. So that'll be really fun to have them coming to the Fargo Dome. And then Dean Wysocki's alma mater, Northern Illinois, is going to be coming to the Fargo Dome as well. So we're starting to see some of those games right away. So Bison will have at least four home games this year. So that's pretty fun. I think Texas El Paso is another one. So fun to see the schedule come out there and get excited about FBS football, man. And starting right away. Isn't it crazy? So it's starting so quick. Anyway, that will do it for our program today, my friend. Thank you for making us a part of the show. Thanks to those that gave comments. I didn't get to all of them today. A couple of people said, Steve, you got to be with us a little more on the gun stuff. You can't be squishy on the magazines. I hear you. I'm just trying to look for ways that we can have our cake and eat it too. I don't know if it's possible, but trying to look at it maybe from a different lens. But hey, we don't need to be banning the semi-automatic weapons, because if you take away the rifles, then you might as well take away the handguns. They work the same way, and now who's going to protect themselves in the big city? So I appreciate it, friends. Even if you don't agree with me, I love having you weigh in on the program today. Scott Hannon, boy, is he going to have some stories to tell from the State of the Union last night coming up next. Have a great day. Keep on flying that flag.